As more and more whistleblowers come forward and the dam of secrecy appears to be breaking, we discuss what disclosure might mean to our society and the world. While many people believe society is resilient or apathetic enough to power through disclosure, those claims are being made without understanding the scope of the phenomenon. Join us as we discuss.
Hey everyone, welcome to the 14 Wins Podcast. I'm Bones, and of course we have Rom X with us.
Hey everybody.
Hey, and what we're going to talk about on this episode 7 is basically what it means to live in a post-disclosure world. And by that, we mean basically post-Grush. David Grush gave pretty mind-blowing testimony to Congress and has given interviews that really has just broken it all wide open.
Yeah, at this point, David Grush's claims have been deemed urgent and credible by the Inspector General, which should be enough for mainstream news to pick it up. Because just the fact that someone has made these claims and that Congress is investigating them should make the news. Like, that's news. And yet we've seen a bunch of mainstream outlets kind of avoid this story, which is very interesting. I guess we could say that they're waiting for it to move beyond the hearsay stage. But yeah, just the fact that Congress is investigating this is news.
Yeah, I think they're waiting for Grush to announce his candidacy for president or something. Maybe they'll cover him then.
Well, I think we will see UFOs on the ballot in 2024. So
yeah, you're probably right.
But if we accept that what Grush was said is true, or potentially true, I guess at this point, then we live in a world where UFOs are real. We are not the only intelligent species. There's another species that's here with us that is more advanced, at least in some ways, and occasionally malevolent.
So right.
That's rough. I think some people are going to handle that okay, and other people will not. And the people that I've seen already having some reactions to this that I think are going to be where the problems are more in the people who have fundamentalist views. And that's not just religious people. So that is one area where I see people probably going to have a big problem with this is in the fundamentalist religious views.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we harp on the mainstream media only because they do play a very important role. And, you know, in today's world of social media, most people are in information bubbles. And so, you know, once this stuff starts coming out and we really do become kind of a post-disclosure, we live in a post-disclosure world, it could mean anything because everyone's going to be getting different information from their preferred source online. And then those that yell the loudest will get the most say.
Right. And we're already seeing some of this happen, you know, in the post-Grush world. Post-Grush pre-disclosure world, maybe.
Right, post-Grush.
So, yeah, we're already seeing some of this happen where people are interpreting this through their lens. Right. So Fundamentalist religious groups are interpreting this as angels or demons are an act of God, depending on which one you're talking to. Then there's another fundamentalist type, which doesn't get talked about. And these are people who have a fundamentalist view of our institutions. These are people who believe in our press, and they believe in our academia, and they believe in science, and they believe in our universities, but they should really look at how all that stuff works and how it all gets funded, because I believe in science too. We have a whole website about science, but it's really difficult to get things funded that don't have a capitalist agenda to them. So,
right.
Something like this doesn't get, you know, UFO research didn't get funded because the only people who had a real need for it was DOD.
Right.
And they wanted to militarize it. So
exactly.
What impetus did science and universities have for uncovering this subject, except that it would have proven or made a lot of their hypotheses incomplete, or their theories are incomplete, because they didn't include this other factor.
True, right.
So there wasn't a big motive for universities and academics to really pursue this subject, although I think we really need to point out some did. Stanton Friedman, Jacques Vallée, Gary Nolan, I mean, we've named some pretty big scientists here that have gone out of their way to research this subject. So, but it was in their own time and on their own dime, just like us.
Right, right.
And so they academics and universities kind of failed here. We should all look at that and go, how did our institutions that are designed for truth-telling not tell us the truth? How did that happen? Like, there's a great album by a band that I really like called Snow Patrol, and the title of the album is "When It's All Over, We Still Have to Clear Up."
Yeah.
And I feel like that is what post-disclosure means. When this is all over, like, we're all going to have to assimilate Russia's claims in our own ways.
Right.
But then we have to figure out how this happened. How were we deceived to this level? And we're not going to get another chance to go back and do it
right.
Again.
Yeah, true.
So we might as well figure out what went wrong and fix it. And I...
Yeah, definitely. Right? But I mean, there also is, you know, this kind of new... It's just a new way of looking at it. And I know we mentioned it in our previous episode, but just calling them non-human intelligence, using that term NHI, really had an impact on me. Because, I mean, that means they're finally saying that there's something out there. We're not necessarily saying it's little spacemen, but then we are kind of necessarily saying that. But you know, it's something out there that we don't completely understand, and it's happening a lot. So there is some honesty in that term, and using that term.
Absolutely. I mean, we have pages and pages written about what we think this is and what other people think it is. And yet, the way you phrased it, which is that there's another set of intelligences out there that we don't understand, is the right way to put it.
Right.
And I think people are going to have a lot of questions, just like we did a few years ago. And hopefully you find some of that information on our website, and it allows you to go out and explore research paths of your own, because 4chan Wins was always meant to be the beginning of research and not a conclusion.
Right.
But that's what we determined early on, was that these were NHI. And when we say NHI, I will throw in other type of human might be a possibility. So
is that, well, how's that acronym? OTH?
Other type
not too
of
bad.
Human? Meaning another type of species that's sort of like us, but maybe from the past, from the future, from another time, from another dimension.
Right.
But like us a little bit in some way. And that may be why they're being so weird about the bodies, because the only thing that I can think of that would be truly shocking about those bodies is that they have human DNA.
Right.
Because if they had some other interstellar or some other, you know, then you'd know that they were ET. And
yeah.
If something is interdimensional, though, why that might end up being not a smoking gun is because if something is interdimensional and we've seen it materializing other things, why couldn't it materialize a human body? So that's why it's just NHI.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense.
And I think when people are first going to have to accept UFOs and then accept that. And that second part, it's a lot, as you point out, it's a lot bigger than people are giving it credit for. I think when people sit with that idea for a little while and understand the implications of it, you're talking about the edges of our reality.
Right. And, you know, not everyone's real capable of that type of kind of abstract thought. I mean, you got everyone, there's a lot of people that just need to see a little green person and need to see a flying saucer.
It would have been a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and not even a real thing. They just need to be told that there's just little green guys in a flying saucer.
Yeah. And And we really are living in this post-Grush, pre-disclosure world. It's drawing it into light for me as you're talking, because I'm like, we've already accepted this. Like, we've been looking at this for years, and now Grush has come out and said, yeah, there it is. And we're talking about it as if it's bespoke, and yet the New York Times won't even publish an article about it.
Right. It's crazy. Right. And I don't know why they're waiting, because like I said, if they wait too long, it's just going to be the loud talkers online on social media that are going to take it over and use it themselves to whatever means.
Right.
You know? And you're going to have lots of people, misinformed people, basically.
Yeah. And that's happening right now. Everyone's turning to their favorite influencer, and we'll never be your favorite influencer.
Guaranteed. That's a 14 wins guarantee.
We destroy weddings, bar mitzvahs, whatever you got. I mean, nobody wants to talk to the weirdos in the corner who are, you know, having conversations with interdimensional aliens. And we're basically Rick and Morty, but more of a downer.
Right.
So, you know, the truth is never popular.
Right.
You know, data isn't popular. I've gotten used to this idea because I'm in demand occasionally, professionally, because I'm going to tell you the truth, you know, because I think that's what's going to help your business or your web technology or whatever. Like, I'm going to tell you the truth about what it is. And then that's going to allow you to take steps. That's going to allow you to move forward. And I've learned that over decades of doing this. Like, don't hide from data. It's
right.
It's there. So I think that kind of maybe conditioned me to accept this a little bit, but not everyone feels that way.
Yeah. And also, I mean, when it comes to the major news organizations, we know for a fact that, you know, federal agencies do ask major outlets for favors. You know, and they might be saying, please, maybe trickle this information, you know, make it a trickle. Don't go all out. And I don't know.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. This is how it works. They trade information. So it could end up being something like, hey, don't print that story and we'll give you the scoop on this Ukraine exclusive.
Right.
That stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
And then there's what we're triggering and what the feedback loop that's coming between the major news outlets and the public, because we're clicking on things that are culturally and socially triggering. We're clicking on whatever pisses us off about the other side.
Right.
If you're on the left, you're pissed off about the right. If you're on the right, you're pissed off about the left. And everybody knows all they have to do is feed you an article that says somebody's doing something that ticks you off, and you're going to click on it.
Right.
So it's a feedback loop. We create that. They expand on it because it's good for their bottom line. And then we all end up in these little bubbles. Who's going to break that?
Right.
You know, if we're looking at CNN or Fox to break that, you know, you're asking them to do something that's not in their corporate best interest. It's unlikely.
Right.
So we're asking for this moment, I guess. This is an impossible moment. And maybe this is that moment where the world can actually stop and go, how we're going about getting information and how we're going about determining truth needs to be reexamined.
Right. Exactly. Well put.
And the people who I think are going to be re-examining that information funnel the most are going to be these people who believed in a scientific dogma. This was a big problem that Fort had. He had a big problem with religious dogma. He had a big problem with scientific dogma. And I'd say we fall right into that niche, because we have a big problem with anyone who's saying it has to work this way, it always works this way, without evidence.
Right.
And those people who are fundamentalist religious types, who I think will end up interpreting this in their religious views, may not have as big a problem with it because they already believe in something non-material. as those people who are pure science believers. This was an attitude that really became popular during COVID, when people really wanted to support the vaccine science, and then there was, I support science. And we could not support science more at 14 Winds. Our site is all about science. We love science. But science works according to research money, and it also works according to consensus. And consensus is in the eye of the beholder. So right. A lot of people who said that they were supporting science didn't really understand those things. And those things are going to come into light for them. That really, we're all just trying to figure this out. And scientists really are our smartest people, and they really are our experts, but they're just trying to figure it out. We all learned the Big Bang was how the universe started, you know, up to 10 years ago. And now all of a sudden, you know, that's not the thing anymore, right?
Right, right.
And someone's going to look at that and go, well, see, scientists don't know anything. And someone else is going to go, that's not true. Science was right. And you're both wrong. Like, it's just a progression. We're just all learning. And that's really going to shake people, because they believed in science and academia as an institution. They believed in their journalists as an institution. It's not. It's just people at the end of the day trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I think a really good question now is, considering that, is when is it going to be disruptive? When is this post-disclosure time going to disrupt the economy, say, or everyday life?
Right. I think we're all we have the ability to be oblivious for a little while longer until Grush's claims are confirmed. And once they're confirmed, I think that the biggest fallout will be people. Not so much the economy, because the economy will only be impacted to the extent that this technology impacts it. But right. The biggest fallout to the economy is going to be how people are affected. And right now, it's so difficult to gauge, because everyone has this ability to say it's not really happening. So what is that? When is that point when people say it is happening?
Right.
And I think that's a sliding scale.
Right. But you have people, but you also just like in politics and religion, you have people that will accept it, but they won't publicly admit it.
There's that I think that's happening now.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say, you know, with the amount of people that have approached me recently who were either cynics, or I would just call them eye rollers.
Right.
Where, you know, they're not really cynical. They just kind of roll their eyes like, UFOs, nonsense.
Right.
And the amount of those that have come up to me recently and started asking questions, I would say we're already into that disruptive phase. These people are starting to ask questions, and maybe this disclosure is happening at the right pace, because you'd rather have them ask questions. I'd rather have them walk up and go, is this for real, than walk up and go, are people really getting abducted and then a prostate simulator put into their anus? I would rather have people asking me if the phenomenon is real right now.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it can be really chilling. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so those things, and from what I'm hearing in the rumor mill, but when we're bringing up rumors, we're going to only bring up rumors that we've heard from people who are close to the subject and may have heard something from the inside. So the rumor mill in this case is that they're not going to talk about abductions.
Right. And David Grush did not mention anything like that.
Grush did not mention abductions, but he was careful with what he said, where some of the things that he said may have included abductions.
Huh. That is interesting.
So to this day, if you get abducted and you call the Air Force, they're going to refer you to either MUFON or a psychiatrist.
Right. And
MUFON is the Mutual UFO Network. It's probably the biggest public UFO network and research organization out there. And that's where they'll refer you if you call them about a UFO sighting. So they're just leaving the public on their own on this one.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's just especially chilling because, I mean, you think about, you know, all the secrecy throughout the decades, and there were bad things that happened, and there were bad things that the government did to their own people to keep all this quiet. So, you know, we don't want to get too creepy on this podcast, but...
Yeah, that may end up being one of the more disturbing things about this is what the U.S. government has done over the last 80 or 90 years to keep this secret.
Yeah.
We've talked about the disinformation and misinformation campaigns, which make me sick. And then Grush said people have been killed.
Right. Yeah, and then you have that one line from, what, Senator Hawley from Missouri. He confirmed that he's heard similar information that Grush testified about, and his only response was, it's not good.
Yeah, he said it's not good.
Yeah, great.
I think we'd agree. It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, since they're all in Congress, maybe they could look into it for us.
Yeah, yeah. It's an idea.
So, I think to answer your question, I think we're in a sliding scale. We're already there. And there are people who, even after these allegations are confirmed, are going to continue to deny that they're true.
Right.
And we'll watch these. I think it was important to bring out Schopenhauer's stages of truth. I'm going to say it again. First, it's ridiculed. Then it's attacked. And then it's perceived as inevitable. So we are definitely at stage two right now.
Definitely.
We're at stage two and three. We are past the ridicule stage. And we have been in the ridicule stage for 80 years. I think we're going to move from this being attacked to this being seen as inevitable very, very quickly.
Yeah, it sounds like we're getting there fast.
Yeah. And you know what? Whatever it is, this is my Mother's Day card. My mom really wanted me to say this. because I told her this one day. I really believe this. This is where I become the believer. I really believe that humans are awesome. Like, we are smart. We are capable of creating miracles. If you're not messing with AI right now, you're missing out. We created the coolest thing since the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, we're amazing. And we can shoot down UAP. So whatever this is, we'll figure it out. It hasn't left us alone this long just to kill us now.
Right, right.
I think it sees that we're pretty amazing, too. So, you know, do something cool today.
There you go. that's good stuff. I mean, I guess we can title this one The Grush Crush, Episode 7.
I love it. Yeah, let's all not get too somber about this. I mean, we're all still here. We're all still pretty smart. We're all pretty creative, and we've done some pretty cool stuff. And I think whatever this is, it probably recognizes that too, and this might make us better. I mean, that's my final take on AI too right now, is that AI isn't there to replace you. It's there to make you a better you. And maybe this makes us a better species.
Definitely. I mean, we're reaching a milestone in human history, and we will adapt.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Bones.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. That was a great episode. We have so much to talk about and so many more episodes to come. We just want to thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next time.
Yep, see you later.